I love this image. You might remember it from the RCA records or the Victrolas from the old days. The slogan, he hears his master's voice. I always loved it, not only from my childhood as a record collector, but also as a pastor who knows well that hearing the voice of God is something that must be learned. It must be acquired. In order to train a dog, you have to let them know your voice. But a dog can answer to anyone. Now, I find it interesting because our dogs are in-the-house dogs. I grew up with dogs that were outdoor dogs. But our in-the-house dogs, they listen as we talk. They like hearing our voice. But they don't do anything while they're listening to us talk. When we're talking around the kitchen table, they just listen. And they're fascinated. Oh, something must be happening, they think. But they only act when they're given clear commands. In fact, the more words you use for a dog to give them a command, the less the dog can hear. The dog doesn't know what to do if you tell them too much. So dog trainers will tell you to use the same words over and over again and to be clear. There's usually a word that you'll give them. Sometimes it's saying their name to let them know that you're going to give them a command. So we say, Canyon, sit. Very clear. And we say it the same way every time. Now, preachers like me, we get into trouble because we want to tell the dog to do too many things. So when we say, Canyon, come over here and sit down next to Daddy, Canyon doesn't know what to do. Canyon's not brought to attention, and Canyon's not given a clear direction. You see, even when the dog hears the master's voice, if the dog isn't listening and isn't trained to know when to listen, then the dog won't be able to follow the instructions. Oftentimes, we can confuse the master's voice with the voice of others. In my life, the master's voice, God's voice, has often been shared through the voices of my parents and grandparents, my mentors, my pastors, my teachers. And it takes a long time for a young person to ferret out the voice of those who are meaningful in our lives from the voice of God. Oftentimes, our first image, our first understanding of God is an understanding of our parents. And so when they speak, it's as if God is speaking to us. But when we hear God's voice, we eventually discover it to be distinct once we learn the Word of God. Now, each of you might not realize this, but you've been called to be messengers of God. We've all been called. Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. The reality is that all of us have been called to share the Word of God with the world. People who share the Word of God are messengers of God. They're prophets of God. Now, many of us think of prophets as those who predict the future. But prophets are those who speak the word of God. Sometimes that well may be a predictive understanding. But the reality is most of the time, prophets tell you what God wants you to hear. No more, no less. When you are called, you must learn the word and the voice of God. You cannot be a prophet and speak the word of God without first hearing the word of God. Now, that's an important thing, and it's one that we would think everyone would know. But many of us, even those of us who are professionally in the school of prophecy, those of us who preach and teach, often speak before we listen. We feel the need to share even when God is silent. I don't like silence. I'm uncomfortable with it, especially as a teacher. Pastor Ed Sladek jokes with me that when I say we're going to have a moment of silence, that it really, I really struggle. I'm back here counting 1001, 1002. You know, then I go to 1 Mississippi 2, because the idea of having silence in worship is something that it goes against, it cuts against every aspect of me. And so when God is silent, I have to struggle against the temptation to fill the space with my own voice. And when I do that, I get into trouble. And I get the church in trouble. Because to speak without first listening is to be a bad prophet, a bad messenger. We see this in politics all the time. An ambassador will speak before getting word from the president or from those in Washington. And they'll often offer promises or conditions that Washington hasn't agreed upon. In the same way, when we speak without hearing God's voice or knowing God's word, we share understandings of God that are untrue. And many of us have lived on untrue understandings of God. You know, we think it's the word of God when we say, cleanliness is next to godliness. Right? Wrong. That's a nice axiom. It's a nice statement. It looks good on a calendar. But it's not the word of God. Many of us, though, have been told that it is. And we listen and think that that is what God wants, when God wants something different from God's people. Now, the reality is that we don't live in a silent world. In fact, the world of Samuel was a world in which Samuel can go to sleep and hear nothing. Few of us live in that world. When I was a kid, if you left your television on too late at night, you would get that terrible beep, the national anthem, and then everything would just go to fuzz, right? When's the last time your TV's gone to fuzz without a cable outage somewhere? If you leave your television on at night, it will be on all night. And it will, I mean, you'll wake up having dreams of the Ginsu knife and God knows what else if you stay up late enough. Everything you listen to gets into your brain, subconsciously seeping in. And what we know is that we become what we listen to. And so if you have taken in garbage, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start to think garbage. If you listen to nastiness, nastiness is what inhabits your body. You are what you listen to. And unfortunately, many of the voices in the world around us aren't positive voices. And so we hear the voices and we believe what they say. It becomes part of our subconscious mind. And we listen all the time. How many of us fall asleep with music or with television on? How many of us have the car radio constantly on? We never take a time for silence. And so you're uncomfortable with it. And if you're uncomfortable with silence, if you're constantly hearing other messages, then I promise you this, you haven't cleared the space to hear from God. And so like Samuel, you might hear God's voice, but you don't know who it is. You've never heard it before. And so you go like Samuel to other people. And you try to say, what is it that you're trying to tell me? The pastor speaks and you hear the pastor's voice. The teacher speaks and you hear the teacher's voice. But you've never taken the time to hear the voice of God. This is further exacerbated by the way we pray, because most of us pray like we're leaving a text message. We say what we want to say, and then we leave. Then we go away. We write it down, and then we leave it. We never wait for a response. We continue through our day. And so we tell God what we need, but we never ask God what God wants. Unfortunately, this can get us into trouble. Because if we only direct God, then we've failed to understand the very first rule of being a prophet. God's your master. It's God who gives commands, not us. And if we don't understand that, then we're going to find ourselves in the uncomfortable position of Eli's sons, who in the scripture we realize wasn't a good man, wasn't a good boy like Samuel was. But Eli's sons thought that the position of being a prophet was to tell other people what to do and to take from other people what they wanted. They became known as evil men. And unfortunately, Eli, the prophet's legacy, was to be the father of evil sons who knew how to ask but didn't know how to listen and never really cared to hear God's word. They just told the people what they wanted. Into this world of the prophets and the priests comes a young boy, Samuel. A boy who was commissioned by God as a, literally from birth. Samuel's name is even important in his ministry. Samuel's name means God has heard. And guess what? As I've told you that a prophet can't speak without first hearing, I'm going to also tell you this, that God doesn't speak without first hearing. Over and over again through the scripture, God responds to the calling of God's people. And oftentimes that calling goes on for a long time before God responds. We hear it in the work of Moses when the scripture tells us that the people of God were in bondage and they cried out to God. And what happened before Moses gets called? God heard their call. And after hearing, God sends the prophet. Samuel's born in a time of silence, and now God has heard the call of Israel and is sending them a prophet to respond to their call. So Samuel's very name is an understanding that before you speak, you first have to listen, and that the prophet stands as one who can acknowledge that God has heard your voice and your call. When God responds to the people in to the people's prayers, guess what? It means that God has heard your prayers. When God has acted in your life, it's because God has heard your prayers, has heard your voice. Now, the weird thing is that oftentimes God acts and we don't notice it. Because of the way we pray, what we often do is we pray for what we want next, and we forget about what God's already answered. And so God has answered us 2 and 3 times, and we never raise it to the highest point. We never shout it to the mountain. We never say to the people of God, God has acted. That's one of the reasons I have Pastor Ed Grable sharing with you about what God has done. We said, God, how can we help? God said, how about chainsaws? Weird to say that, isn't it? But it was a need. So we prayed, we listened, we asked people, what do you need? And then we provided it to you. How can we help people? Well, they need chainsaws. Then you acted. We listened to the people in need, to the people of God, and then we listened for God. And then we spoke on what we heard. And then you acted on what we heard. So guess what? Next week, we're going to thank God. Because to hear without responding, to have blessing given, to have an answer to prayer without saying thank you is inappropriate in life. When people do something for you, you say thank you. When God acts, we say thank you. Samuel had never heard the word of God, and he'd never heard the voice of God. He went to Eli and he said, "Did you call me?" And Eli said, "I didn't call. Let me sleep. Go back to bed." He heard it again. "Eli's calling me. There's only two people in the house." So he goes to Eli, and once again Eli says, "I haven't said anything. Go to bed." Every once in a while, when I'm walking around the house, I hear someone calling me. And I say, "Betsy, hon, what do you need?" And oftentimes she'll say, "I didn't say anything." "Well, I heard you say something." "Well, she didn't." So I go about my business. One of the odd things is I never contemplate for a moment that someone else is calling me. How many times have we heard a voice? How many times have we felt the call? And we went to someone that we love, someone who should have been the only person that could have spoken to us. And we said, "What did you need?" And the person said, "What the heck's wrong with you? I didn't say anything. You're hearing things." Oftentimes people that hear the voice of God are hearing things. They just don't know who they're hearing. And they move on with life, never recognizing that God is calling. Never understanding that they're chosen by God to share God's word. You see, when God's calling to you, when God's calling to me, God wants us to listen and to understand his voice and his word. I shared with you this before, that too many prophets act before hearing. But I'm going to say this as well. Too many prophets never listen and therefore never act. As dangerous as it is for a man and a woman of God to act before hearing the word of God, it is far more devastating when the people of God hear God's voice and refuse to respond. When there's no Eli there to tell them, "Say to God, 'Here I am, Lord. Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Imagine what would have happened if Eli had not continued, or if Eli had not stopped the fiasco, the comic relief of back and forth to the room, and finally said to Samuel, "Samuel, God is calling you. This is how you respond." You may not have ever been taught how to respond. When you feel God is calling you, then you need to ask God to speak clearly. Speaking clearly is not an easy thing for us to hear. Because what happens is we clutter our own lives. We clutter the voice of God, the word of God, with our own impressions. When I first received the call to ministry, I thought the call to ministry meant to be someone that I wasn't. That I had to be like them. Like the ministers that I saw. And it bothered me because I didn't want to be like that. All I could think of is, I don't have enough Brell cream to do that. You know, I didn't want to slick my hair back. I didn't want to wear a suit with lights in it. I didn't want to have to be like a televangelist. Because in those days, those were the popular ministers. And in many ways, they still are. And so I had to figure out what God's call was, not for them, but for me. And one day I had a conversation with my brother, and we were talking, and he said, "You know, maybe what you really have to do is ask what God wants you to do." And that was my Eli moment. That was my moment when I had to realize that someone was calling me, but I hadn't taken the time to listen to the call. I'd assumed that the call meant to be like them instead of understanding that the call meant to be me for Christ. Do you get the difference? When God calls you, God doesn't want you to be like me. God wants you to be what God intends you to be for him. You're not a cardboard cutout of the previous person. Samuel was not going to be like Eli, but Eli was important for Samuel. You will not be like your pastor, like your father, like your mother, like your teacher, but you will be the best you that God could call and use for God's service. Prophets carry a message of God into the world, and we don't need just one. We need many who will act and live as God has called them to be. Once you have heard your call, once you have asked God to give you a clear message of how to act, what to do, God, what does this call mean? Then you need to take some time and gather your information. For me, it means studying God's word. It means knowing the words of God. Because God will never call you away from God's word. It meant for me to take times of silence, which are not easy for me. I'm someone who's like a perpetual motion machine. You know, I try to move all the time. Because if I don't move, I just collapse. And I have to find every day and every week that intermediate zone between sleep and action, that place of rest where I listen. It could be in a walk. It could be in just that moment. Sometimes it's very brief, a 10-minute time where there's nothing bothering me and there's nothing on. Just speak, God. Your servant's listening. It's amazing how much I hear in that brief time. It inspires me. It propels me to action, oftentimes for a week at a time, just to hear the one word or the quick command. Imagine how powerful the people of God would be if we took the time to listen to God's commands for our lives. We currently live in a world in which most people say everything they think. And as you well know, many of them speak before thinking of what they're saying. We live in a Twitter world. We live in a world where everyone shares everything to our disadvantage and oftentimes to our disgrace. The church can teach the world something by being men and women who pray, who take a moment of silence, and then when they speak, we don't share our opinion. There's too many opinions out there. We share God's word. The people of God have a responsibility to share God's word, not ours. That's being a prophet. That's being God's messenger. And in truth, that's what it means to be the people of God. We speak only God. We share that love. And we spend more time listening than we do speaking. It's not easy. And it's countercultural. But I promise you, it's always good. In a few moments, we're going to gather around the table. We're going to have communion. And it's funny because communion doesn't do any, we don't do it different in any way. We do it over and over again the same way every time. Not a good Baptist type of thing, is it? But the words that we speak are the words of Jesus. It's the word of God. We've learned to know those words because all we do when we gather on that table is listen. God, speak to us and help us to have ears to hear. Let's pray. Loving God, You have instructed us to speak and to be your messengers. But before we speak, we must first listen. And you have called us to learn at your feet. Your apostles spent 3 years asking questions. They were filled with your Holy Spirit. They did not speak until they were filled. And there came power. Your prophets spoke your word with power and strength. And the word of God changed lives and nations. Lord God, help your church today to abandon our opinions and to share your word. To take the time to listen before we speak, and to be your prophets in an age where the word of God has been drowned out by the contrary voices of our time. Bless us, call us, speak to us, and open our ears and our hearts so that we might hear you. And we pray it in the name of the obedient one, Jesus Christ our Lord, who shared your word with us.